Okay, folks, the title for today's study is Creation versus Evolution. Now, it does sound like I'm rehashing something I did before, which is in a way true, this one we are going to be visiting the appendices. All right. The purpose for today's study is to cover an often visited discussion. If I had my choice, I'd much rather not have to address this topic, but the idea or push in a lot of ways to subvert creation with evolution puts this matter right in our backyard on a daily basis. Therefore, I am compelled to comment recurrently regarding this subject. In revisiting this matter, we will look to the appendices notes for some redefined direction that I would hope may give you a better understanding of the controversy and provide an answer for any question that may be presented to you regarding your belief. The introduction to Genesis in the whole Bible, Genesis 1, 1 and all the way through 2, 3, ascribes everything to the living God, creating, making, acting, moving, and speaking. There's no room for evolution without a flat denial of divine revelation. One must be true, the other false. All God's works were pronounced good 7 times, and we'll see that in Appendix 10, where we will visit that later. So you can go through this, go in. We're not going to go into all of the scriptures here, but everything is here. I would just implore you to go into the appendices and look at these notes, because there's a lot of compilation in there that can bring you to very precise subject matter. So you have great in through Psalms and Revelations, wondrous, Job, perfect, Deuteronomy. Man starts from nothing. He begins in helplessness, ignorance, and inexperience. All his works, therefore, proceed on the principle of evolution. This principle is seen only in human affairs. From the hut to the palace, from the canoe to the ocean liner, from the spade and plowshare to machines for drilling, reaping, and binding. But the birds build their nests today, as at the beginning. The moment we pass the boundary line and enter the divine sphere, no trace or vestige of evolution is seen. There is growth and development within, but no passing, change, or evolution out from one into another. On the other hand, all God's works are perfect. In the introduction to Genesis, times everything is ascribed to direct acts and volitions on the part of God as the creator, which we'll see in Appendix 4i. The divine names and titles is Appendix 4. Elohim occurs 2,700 times. Its first occurrence connects it with creation and give it its essential meaning as the creator. It indicates his relation to mankind as his creatures. Elohim is God the Son. As you can see a note in 2 Chronicles 18:31, where it stands in contrast with Jehovah as indicating covenant relationship. Elohim is God the Son, the living word, with creature form to create, John and Colossians and Revelation, and later with human form to redeem, in John 1:14, begotten of his Father before all worlds, born of his mother in the world. In this creature form, he appeared to the patriarchs, a form not temporarily assumed. Elohim is indicated by ordinary small type, God. See table on page 7. So here we have the different, God created six times. God moved once. God said 10 times. God saw 7 times. God divided twice. God or he called. God or he made 7 times. 5 and 7 times. God set once. God blessed 3 times. God ended once. God rested twice. There we go. He sanctified once. There are also 10 words connected with the word God. This is the number of ordinal perfection. Again, we'll see that in Appendix 10. There's only one verb used alone with the pronoun he instead of God, and that is the verb rested. This makes 11 in all, for the significance of which you will see in Appendix 10. The word and is repeated 102 times, thus by the figure polysyndeton, Appendix 6, marking and emphasizing each separate act as being equally independent and important. Evolution is only one of several theories invented to explain the phenomena of created things. It is admitted by all scientists that no one of these theories covers all the ground, and the greatest claim made for evolution or Darwinism is that it covers more ground than any of the others. The Word of God claims to cover all the ground, and the only way in which this claim is met is by a denial of the inspiration of the Scriptures in order to weaken it. This is the special work undertaken by the so-called higher criticism, which bases its conclusion on human assumptions and reasoning instead of on the documentary evidence of manuscripts and textual criticism does. So we go to Appendix 10, the spiritual significance of numbers. Numbers are used in Scripture, not merely as in nature, with supernatural design, but with spiritual significance, which may be summarized as follows. 1. Denotes unity and commencement. The first occurrences of words or utterances denote their essential significance in interpretation. Words that occur only once in the originals are emphatic and important. First day, light. First occurrences of all important words and expressions are noted in the margin. 2. Denotes difference. If two different persons agree in testimony, it is conclusive. Otherwise, 2 implies opposition, enmity, and division, as was the work of the second day. Compare the use of the word double applied to heart, tongue, mind. 3. Denotes completeness, as three lines complete a plain figure. Hence, 3 is significant of divine perfection and completeness. The third day completes the fundamentals of creation work. The fourth, fifth, and sixth days are the counterpart and repetition of the first, second, and third, and correspond respectively. You see the structure of Genesis 1, page what is that? Genesis 1, Genesis 1, 3. The number 3 includes resurrection also. For on the third day, the earth rose up out of the deep and the fruit rose up out of the earth. 4 denotes creative works, 3 plus 1, and always has reference to the material creation, as pertaining to the earth and things under the sun and things terrestrial. You definitely see a pattern here that is not explained away in the fog of time as of evolution. 5 denotes divine grace. It is 4 plus 1. It is God adding his gifts and blessing to the works of his hands. The Hebrew haaretz, the earth, by gematria, i.e. the addition of the numerical value of the letters together, is a multiple of 4, while Hashemayim, the heavens, is a multiple of 5. The gematria, or charis, the Greek for grace, is also a multiple of 5. It is the leading factor in the tabernacle measurements. 7 denotes spiritual perfection. It is the number or hallmark of the Holy Spirit's work. He is the author of God's word, and 7 is stamped on it as the watermark is seen in the manufacture of paper. He is the author and giver of life. And 7 is the number which regulates every period of incubation and gestation in insects, birds, animals, and man. And I think I missed 6, but I'm going to leave that one for you to go and find yourself. Eight denotes resurrection, regeneration, a new beginning or commencement. The 8th is a new first, hence the octave in music, color, days of the week. Wow. Imagine that. Could that have come about through evolution and happenstance? It is the number which has to do with the Lord, who rose on the 8th, or new first day. This is therefore the dominical number by gematria. Don't know how to pronounce that, but Jesus makes the number 888. It, or its multiple, is impressed on all that has to do with the Lord's names, the Lord's people, the Lord's works. 9 denotes finality of judgment. It is 3 times 3, the product of 989, for divine completeness. The number 9, or its factors or multiples, is seen in all cases when judgment is the subject. 10 denotes ordinal perfection, and another new first after the 9th digit when numeration commences anew. 11 denotes disorder, disorganization, because it is one short of the number 12. 12 denotes governmental perfection. It is the number of factor of all numbers connected with government, whether by tribes or apostles, or in measurements of time, or in things which have to do with government in the heavens and the earth. 13 denotes rebellion, apostasy, defection, disintegration, revolution. The first occurrence fixes this, Genesis 14:4, and the second confirms it, Genesis 17:25. It and its multiples are seen in all numbers and in the gematria of all names and passages that are associated with rebellion. 17 denotes a combination of spirit and order, 10 plus 7. It is the 7th prime number, as 13 is the 6th prime number. A prime number is a whole number greater than 1 that can only be divided evenly by 1 and itself. For example, 7 is prime because its only factors are 1 and 7. Conversely, numbers with more than 2 factors are called composite numbers. Little math education there. The 4 perfect numbers, 3, 7, 10, and 12, have for their product the remarkable number 2,520. It is the least common multiple of the 10 digits governing all numeration and can, therefore, be divided by each of the 9 digits without a remainder. It is the number of chronological perfection, 7 times 360. So as we started off in Appendix 5, then referenced Appendix 4, and end up in Appendix 10, we have passed through numerous measures that point to the perfection of God's creation, and not that which is derived of chaos. Believing in God, and that He created all that is, does not answer all of our questions. But by my estimation, it answers more than leaving it up to evolution, natural selection, survival of the fittest, or a game of chance, an otherwise mindless, heartless theory that provides no purpose and nothing to look forward to other than an end without a reasoning. And as Ronnie was saying earlier, we look to Corinthians 15, 13 through 18, and therein you will find that end which is met without hope, faith, and belief in the creation and the design played out for us. Without God, the world is barren and devoid of love, reasoning, direction, purpose, and beauty beyond the mere sake of beauty. If that is even possible, given that evolution does not appear to have a measure of evolved sense or appreciation for aesthetics. The particular elements in a landscape have been created together in such a fashion to be pleasing and inviting to our eyes, and we have been endowed with the sight and feeling that compels us to wonder, and thus we are imbued with an appreciation for that which was orchestrated for His pleasure. This is a short one, but I thank you, and I do implore you to go into the appendices.